I grew up in Pakistan, playing cricket, basketball, unch neech, and pitugol garam with my brother, Mohammed. When it was rainy season or too hot to be outside, we canvassed our grandparents' basement for hints of a world that predated our small brown hands and hungry minds. I idolized my grandmother, my mother's mother, who I called Nano, a tenacious, fair-skinned beauty whose shalwar kameez always carried with it the powdery rose elegance of Chanel No. 5. From when I was 6 and we lived with her, I often joined her on her weekly excursions to the Itwar Bazaar, the Sunday market that unfolded like a circus on a plowed plot of dirt in a skeletal, undeveloped neighborhood in Karachi. At my grandmother's behest, we set out early in order not to miss the best produce. While we guzzled water and used the toilet, Nano counted her cash and had Kudir, our family's cook who had been with us since my mom's youth, check the boot of the car to be sure it was empty and ready to be filled. Nano ruled the house, our small staff, a member of which delivered us to the market in our Honda Accord, bedazzled with its Italian Momo rainbow steering wheel cover, and our days, particularly in those in-between years when my mom was building her business. Nano was a second mother to me, and it was more than obvious that her prowess in the kitchen was connected to her confidence in the world. Before we made our way through the rows of stalls, vegetables on one side, fruit on the other, the mazdoors would line up, chests puffed out, shoulders back to imply strength and stamina. In Urdu, a mazdoor is a young boy, probably homeless, possibly orphaned, certainly too poor to attend school, who works as a porter and makes money carrying groceries for wealthier patrons at the market. Past the mazdoors, the farmers sold their produce. Lokat, jaman, lychee, chiku, small sweet green sultana grapes, yams, gourds, arvi, and ruby red carrots. The pungent fragrance, a saccharine-crushed guava underfoot, wilting greens, the rank, damp shirts of farmers who awoke before dawn to haul their loads to town, potatoes with a film of dusty, dried soil still clinging to them, made for an intoxicating perfume, at once bodily and of the earth. I was supposed to dread these market runs, as all children and most adults did, but secretly I loved them. I followed my grandmother, sometimes pressed right up against her damp, silk-draped frame, her sweet signature scent still discernible amid the odoriferous hubbub, as she perused the bright stalls, surveying what she planned to purchase, sweat forming rivulets between her shoulder blades and at her temples, which, like all the other matrons, she dabbed with the corner of her dupatta.
"Who has the greenest beans? The snappiest okra? The onions have to be large, but not too large, because those ones are the sweetest."
Produce was selected not just for its ripeness in the moment, but for its future perfection. Nano taught me to feel melons near their stems, that they should be heavier than they appear, to press pears gently, to smell mangoes for sweetness to determine their readiness. Then came her masterful bargaining. First, mild interest, then an ambivalent, "How much?" No matter what price the vendor told her, it was always too much.
"50 rupees,"
she scoffed with a feigned horror.
"Your friend there just offered me the very same dates for 40 rupees. I'll buy them from him."
Then she turned gravely on her heel with dismissive finality, but every time the vendor rushed to her, leaving his stall to block her path, a wagging head and smiling eyes offering her a nicer price.
"Wait, Baji Malik. I'll match his price, but only for you. Tell no one."
And she'd give a barely perceptible nod to confirm her approval. At the market, my glamorous Nano was notorious and revered. And from her, I learned how to shop, to select, to haggle, in that drenched tent, that humid carnival of perishables.